All right, we are in the second session under vision and strategy. We're going to look at the farm team strategy, connections 1 through 3. Psalm 78, verse 4. We will tell the next generation the praise and worthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders that he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to, listen, to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and then this, and they in turn would tell their children. That's the farm team. Parents teach the children, children teach their children, and it keeps going and keeps going. In fact, if two people get married and have two children, and then those two children grow up and have two children, and every 20 years this happens, in 400 years, the original two people will have 1 million in their family tree. The family tree is a way of getting everyone to play. Everyone is involved. No one's sitting on the bench. What is the purpose of the farm team strategy? It fosters the developing of homegrown talent. In the United States, baseball has been a big thing. It's been a big thing largely not because of the World Series and not because of professional baseball, but because people actually played the game in their own backyards. A father or mother would go out with the son or daughter and they would just play catch. And then they go to school and they play on the playground. And then they join a little team. And then they go to the next team. And then they go to high school. And then they go to college. There's all these little venues, all these different levels that people can play and compete and sort of become stars at their own level. And then they advance to the more difficult level. And then they have to work harder and they can improve. And so all the while people are improving and people sort of go to the whatever level that fits them. Some go all the way to the majors and they play in the World Series. Others just play and they play just recreationally. People have a chance to get to whatever level their talent and their experience can take them. It gives everyone a place to exercise their talent at their own level. That's what I was talking about. That you know, it's fun to be with people who are at your level. If you're with people that are way better than you, it's no fun. Or if you're with people that are way less experienced than you are, it's no fun. And it's the same with music. You know, if I'm playing guitar with someone, it's nice to be with someone who's maybe just a little bit better so I can learn, but not so much better that I get discouraged. It gives everyone a chance to develop their talent and improve to whatever level they can achieve. So we need to create these different levels within a church. So why is the farm team so important? Without it, talent gets taken from other churches. So that's what's happening a lot. A church develops someone, gives someone an opportunity. They get up, they shine, they excel. They start leading music. They play the guitar. They sing. They play the piano, and then they start looking for a bigger venue to play. So, you know, people that might appreciate their talents. And the bigger church is looking for someone that's better because the more people there are in a room, the more talented people, the more people expect things to be really good. So churches tend to steal and trade members instead of just growing their own. Without it, there are more people sitting on the sidelines watching rather than playing. So an elite group learns how to play. You just happen in your church to have someone who really plays the piano, so you just make them do it and no one else learns. They all just, well, I don't know how to play like that, so I'm just not going to learn, and there's no place to learn. Without the farm team system, the worship service becomes a surrogate praise time instead of the culmination of the praise that's been going on all week by all the people in the congregation. I remember when we taught a guitar class, we taught 20 people how to play the guitar. And then we had a worship service and we had all 20 people with their guitars leading. They were all practicing at home, you know, for 3 weeks, practicing, singing at their home. And then on a Sunday, it all came together. So all that practice, all that individual praise for 3 weeks came together in one service. So we're going to look at this farm system. We're going to start, we're going to look at 7 connections, and we're going to look at 3 of them. We're going to start with connection 1. Connection one in the music farm team is individuals. Everybody's given a voice, you know, unless you're handicapped in terms of your voice, but most people have a voice. It's an instrument. It's like a reed instrument. There's vocal cords, and they get stretched, and the tighter they are, the higher the voice goes. It's just like an instrument. And God gave you this. It's a gift from God. God says, here, you know, I'm going to give you an instrument. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to rent it. You don't have to put it in a case. You get to just take it with you. It goes everywhere. And it's the greatest instrument. It's incredible. It can get loud. It can get really soft. It can get high. It can get low. It can be filled with emotion. It's probably the most incredible voice. You know, the piano, I can play it. I can play all the notes, but the notes don't say anything. Whereas my voice can not only mimic an instrument, la 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 la, it can just do the notes, but I can also put words to it. God is the greatest of all. You know, I can just put music to it. I can put words to it. It's an incredible thing that every single person has been given. You can take it anywhere. You know, this morning I came here and I forgot something. I left it at home, but I didn't forget my voice. It doesn't matter what I think about. My voice just comes with me, and everyone has one, and everyone's voice is unique. And somehow when we sing together, the uniqueness of all these voices come together and create a sound. By the way, you know why a choir sounds so good? It's because all the voices are different. And when they all sing, there's a little bit of difference between all of them, and it sounds like a choir. And, you know, a whole choir can sing one note, and it doesn't sound like just one person singing really loud. It sounds like a choir. And it's largely because the voices are different from each other, but it's also because every voice is slightly off from each other. It just creates a bigger sound. Well, how do you help people make singing happen in their own life? They have this incredible voice, but how would you help people? One thing you can do is help them memorize songs. People will sing what they know. When we taught our kids the hymns, we made them memorize the hymns. And guess what? When they were absent-mindedly doing something, they weren't thinking about it, they weren't saying, hey, I think I'll sing. They're just, you know, doing something. They would accidentally just start singing the songs. Why? Because the songs are there. And especially when you're during a time where you have needs and you're going through something hard, all of a sudden the memorized thing, the thing that's in your head, will switch down to your heart. And all of a sudden those words will come out in a different way. But unless they first get into your head, they don't have a chance to get into your heart. So teach people songs, have them memorize it. You know, the song of the month. We're going to memorize this song. We're going to sing it every month. And at the end of the month, we're not going to have the words. You're going to have to sing it all on your own. Have them practice with recorded songs. We do this with the band. We do this with our singers. Why not do this with the whole church? In fact, we made a CD of songs, 12 hymns, and we put all the parts, the tenor, the bass, and put it all in one CD and had people pick one, and they could just sing them just in their car, and they could not only learn the melody, but they could also learn a part. Help those who cannot carry a tune learn notes. Some people can sing no problem. You know, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And they could just sing with you. They just hear it and they just sing along. Their ears are in tune with it. Others are like, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. They just have a monotone. And if you say, well, you know, you got to sing different notes, and they go, Amazing Grace, how sweet, you know, they don't know what different notes are. Or I remember one kid I was trying to teach. We were on a mission trip in Mexico. This was maybe 35 years ago. And he would just sing monotone like that. And I said, well, I can teach you how to sing. And I'd never taught anyone how to sing. But I sat down with him. And I'm like, okay, let's start with Do, Re, Mi, Fa, So. You know, we'll learn that one. Okay? Simple little thing. Little tool to learn the scale. So I said, you just try to follow me. I'm going to go do. And he went do. And I went re. And he went re. And then I went me. And he went me. And then do, re, mi. And then I went fa. And he went fa. I said, no, fa, fa. No, fa, fa. And I said, yeah, get a little higher. Fa. I said, oh, hold on. That was way too high. Go lower again. Fa. And you know what I discovered is, you know, he didn't have those notes. He had three notes on the bottom, and then he had two notes up on tie, but he didn't have any of those notes. It's like, you know, on a piano, like they just don't work. And when I'd say higher, he'd go way too high. I said, no, it's just one note. He couldn't do it. He could not get one note. Now, I think what happened to him, he was a guy. And guys, you know, when you're a kid, your voice is really high. Hey, let's go play ball. But at puberty, guys, their voices change. And all of a sudden, they got to go an octave lower. And some guys never figure that out. Some guys have no trouble. But some guys are like, that went an octave lower. And all of a sudden, they just talk down here. And they stay down here. And this is, everything is down here. It just, they get stuck on there. They don't know how to adjust. They don't know where to go. And then for the next 10 years, they reinforce three notes. So that's what he had done. And he literally did not have those notes. So I had to painstakingly go, okay, you know, when I'm trying to get you to go one note that's way too high, I got to get you just from this note, ooh, just a little bit, little by little, just pushing, because his vocal cords don't even know what to do. You know? It's like, you know, if I were to tell you, you know, wiggle your ears. See, I can do it. But if you can't do it, you'll be just going, okay, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know what to do. I don't. And that a person doesn't know what to do. So people can learn, but it's going to take some time because they've been reinforcing this, you know, no ear. No. Now, my guess is there's some people that just do not have an ear. They just can't hear. They can't get it no matter how much work you put into them. But I doubt if there's that many. There's a lot more people just singing monotone, but they just lost it at some point. And reinforcing that over the years, and they just need someone to work with them. Well, how to help people make music happen in their life? Help them learn the guitar. Not just singing, but why not the guitar? I mean, it's a great instrument, and we're going to have a whole session on how to help people learn the guitar. The guitar, really, it's not that hard. If you learn three chords, you can sing like 100 songs. If you learn just one chord, this is an E chord. And if I take that E and go up here, I get three chords out of one chord. So if I just learn one chord and I just slide it up, I get three of them. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It's just learning one shape. It'd take you, you know, 5-10 minutes just to get this one shape down. Move it a few places. Do a little strumming. It's not that hard. So how do you help people overcome? Most people think it's like, you know, this impossible thing. It's a magical thing that they could never do. You just have to get them to a class and show them little things and then send them home and off they go. Or help them with a keyboard. The keyboard is the same thing. Now, my wife teaches piano. She teaches the traditional way. You know, you learn the notes. Let me get this to a piano setting. You learn the notes. Okay, there it is. There's that do, re, mi, fa, sol thing I was talking about. But you teach someone a chord. You know, here's a chord, C, here's a G, here's an F. These three chords. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind. about that? In fact, you know, we'll do more with this with the piano thing, but I can just teach you one, you know, your one hand to do one thing the whole time. We're just going to do this the whole time. We're just going to change the bass notes. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. So I just change the bass note two or three times, and it's a whole song. It's something someone can learn in, you know, 20 minutes. So how do you help people get over this idea that, you know, well, I don't know an instrument, I don't know music, I don't do music. They could, if so. It's just a language. It's just like English. English is one of the hardest languages to learn in the world. Some of you that are taking this class, English is a second language for you. You know how hard it is. But for me, it was easy. It was easy. I just grew up with it. It was just around, and I learned it. And people can learn the language of music, too. Help them learn percussion. You know, beating on something, you know. I remember going to something in the little conference or something, and we had 10 people, and they each and the leader gave us each a little drum. So we each had a little drum, and they pointed to me and said, okay, just beat out your name. I am Steve. I am Steve. I am Steve. I am Steve. And they said, well, others, you know, what's your name? I am Marie. I am Marie. Okay, so go for that for a while. I am Marie. I am Marie. I am Steve. And then it would be back and forth, and then people add their other name, and people just start playing on their little drums. And you know what? It sounded good. People had never beat on a drum before. It's like, you know, our hearts beat in a particular rhythm, and eventually we kind of learn it. And you get kids, give them little things that make beats and have them, you know, learn. And it's a way that you can start getting into music, learning rhythm and how to stay with everyone else. You have to listen to what other people are doing. Okay, that's connection one. So you're blessed with a voice, you're blessed with fingers that can play things and learn things. Connection two in the Music Farm team is couples. If someone is married, the most important relationship that they have next to their relationship to God is their relationship to a spouse. And the most important relationship that a couple has together is their relationship to God. And since music is a powerful connecting language, why not help married couples make use of it? So how do you do that? Well, help couples sing together. Teach them both how to sing. Help couples learn an instrument together. So they're both, maybe one is learning the guitar and one is learning the piano, and then they can go home and kind of practice together. Help couples sing harmony. Harmony isn't, we're going to have a whole session on how to learn harmony, how to teach harmony, and it's not that hard. People know row, row, row your boat. It's just a round. You sing it around, it's harmony. Harmony is just an alternate melody. And so husband and wife, you know, my wife and I, we will play together. We can sing songs together. It's a beautiful way to worship God in your own home. Connection three. So, you know, you're individually a voice. You can learn an instrument. If you're married, you can do things together as husband and wife. And by the way, a husband and wife, you know, when you get married, you're attracted, and there's a physical thing that helps bring you together and helps you keep coming back together. But as you get older, that physical thing gets less and less. And I think God gives us this physical attraction while we're young to sort of force us to keep coming back together. But we need to make hay while we have that. We need to find things that we actually enjoy doing together. And if we waste that time where we have the help of the physical attraction, if we waste that and don't do things that we can enjoy together, then when we don't have the physical thing going as strongly as we once did when we're older, we will have nothing in common with one another. So couples, you need to find things that you can really enjoy doing together. And why not music? Why not Why not worship? Okay, families. Connection three in the music farm team is families. If one has a family, the most important relationship they have next to their relationship to God is their relationship to the family. And the most important relationship that a family has together is their relationship to God. And since music is a powerful connecting language, that's what it does, why not help families make use of it? So how do you do that? Help families sing at home. You know, as a church, we give families an assignment. Every month we have a song, a scripture song that we're trying to learn, and we give a copy to the family. We put it on our internet. We put it on our website. And so people and families can sing this. You know, I encourage almost on a weekly basis that families go home, and at the dinner table, you don't just eat, you don't just read the Bible, but have every kid pick a song that they want to sing together with family. When they're young, they want to sing. So don't waste that opportunity. Help establish singing time habits. I said when my kids were teenagers, we learned the hymns, and it was in the evening at 9 o'clock. That's what we did. We gathered around the piano, we sang. Daily events, you know. A few years back, I was in Australia. I was on the island of Tasmania, the Tasmania Devil, I was on this island, and I had to do some talk at some church, and I stayed at some family's house that wasn't involved in the seminar, so they didn't know who I was or what I was there to do, but I stayed at their house, and the next morning I ate with the whole family, and the family did their thing, ate, they prayed, they did a little devotional reading, and then the father handed out these little songbooks. And as he's handing out this songbook to me, he sort of apologized. He said, you know, well, you know, this is kind of what we do. We sing a couple songs out of this book. And, you know, I felt like he was like, you know, I'm sorry. You know, we're going to have to make you sing here and so on. And he didn't realize that this was my message at the church that night. And it was so powerful to this family. It's just a simple little thing that they did, but they did it together. My guess is one day their kids are going to remember that, and when they have a family, they're going to do the same thing. These are the kind of connecting habits that we need to do in our homes. Weekly events. We go to church. We sing. Maybe young people's or small groups. We need to start singing at all the events that we do together, especially as families. Monthly events. My kids come home and sometimes we sit around the piano, but we need to make that a habit. Why not just do that every time they come over? Hey, you know, there's eating. We do the eating thing. We play some games thing, and we do the singing thing. Yearly events, Christmas time. You get together, you open your presents, but why not have a time of singing as well? Special events, baptisms, family events that you want to mark with singing. With our baptisms, we have people pick out a song, and then we encourage them to use that song on the yearly, when the date comes up for the baptism, every year you sing that song to mark that occasion. Why is this so important? On page 56 of The Secret to a Great Music Ministry, I tell the story of it was a friend of my wife's, and while my wife's friend, while her parents were both dying in the hospital, the family would come and they would sing. And one evening they came and sang, and they wheeled the mother to the father, and so they were both in the same room, and everyone was there, all the brothers and sisters and cousins and all the grandkids and so on, and they started singing, and the singing went down the hospital, and nurses and different people started showing up, and it was like a little impromptu congregational singing time, and the doctors and the nurses commented on how powerful that was, those words. And the reason is it's all that history. It's mom and dad and growing up and all the good things that the family had. And it all comes back in that singing, and there was tears, and it's all mixed in with their history and love and the hard times and all the difficult times and everything that God has done. And it's all encapsulated in these songs. But that isn't going to happen. That isn't going to happen one day when you're dying in the hospital room and your family comes and people don't know what to say and they don't know how to express their feelings, because there won't be any song that will do it if you haven't done it. Okay, the songs only work if you start singing them, and over time they build and they have all these memories attached, but you have to do it or there'll be nothing to communicate. And you know, that's the powerful thing about music. It can say what you couldn't say. So families, in these difficult moments, they sit there and they're all thinking really deep thoughts, but no one knows what to say. And so often, you know, these moments pass in silence. But a lot of times there's a song that could just say what the family is thinking. And so someone starts singing that song and they all join in and they're able to communicate with one another their love, their concern for each other, their dependence on God, even in these trying moments, that God, your presence is right here, and we don't have to come up with the words because the music will do it for us. You're helping families create powerful bonds that connect memories and people and God. And the collective laying on of these memories creates powerful relationship emotions. You're creating a huge potential talent pool from which to develop future musicians for worship leading. I mean, if you have 200 people in your church and 100 of them are taking guitar lessons, 10 keep going, 5 of them are going to become awesome guitar players. I mean, that's kind of, you know, how it works with baseball. You know, if we all play, and then, you know, the people that really like it and have naturally gifted at it, they just keep going and become something. But if we don't give everyone a chance, we'd never know who could develop and who couldn't. So I want to encourage you, at least in your individual life, your marriages, your families, to just try. And we'll get to these sessions where I'm actually going to show you how to start singing, how to sing a part, how to try the guitar, and listen to these things. And if you're the music director, you already know how to sing, you already know guitar, you already know piano. Listen to try to help others. It's not just about the worship team learning; it's about trying to help everyone in your congregation with this language of music.